KIW, iRadio 76 proudly presents The 515 Show with your host, John Sarver. Who's at the 515 door today?
Well, it is the hottest story that's going around, and it broke around afternoon time, and it is going like hot fire. Yes, the thing that we are talking about is that Tim Tomosik of the Great Lakes Gassers here. Every other story pales in comparison. Hiya, Tim. How you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
On this wild of days, good. Man, are we glad that you're here today. I mean...
Well, I appreciate the invitation.
We're kicking everything. Everybody knows what's going on, or they don't know what's going on, and that's kind of the fun part. But we just, we're kicking around this in the pre-production meeting today, and it's like, in a situation where you're at, where your group is signed into going into places, and we're not saying Milan, but we're just going to say Track X. If Track X decided that it was flooded and it couldn't go this year, or the track heaved and it's going to take them all season to get it done, what after you signed into a track like that, then what happens to you? Obviously, you can't go there. But then do you look at new tracks, or do you just kind of walk past it, or what do you do?
No, absolutely. So, we had our annual meeting, back in February via Zoom meeting, which was pretty exciting. And, normally we have our annual luncheon at Steaks Eatery in Bandicoot Lake Jackson area, which is a great restaurant. And this year we weren't able to do that because of restrictions with COVID and all that. So we did it via Zoom, and I think I had 28 persons attend. And normally when we have people come, they usually bring one other person. So that's like 56 people. That's about right, for one of our normal meetings.
Sure.
But anyway, so during that meeting, I had already set the schedule by that point, but there were several other events that are, whether they're in Michigan or Indiana, Ohio, that people were touting and potentially going to. So in the event that a track were to not open for whatever reason, or they had track damage or whatever, then there's always other events that we can book ourselves into. So
even
even if it's an event that's already pre-planned, like, for example, like the Detroit Drag Race Reunion, or the Glory Days event that we'll be going to in Illinois, those events are already pre-planned, and so we'll just show up as a group, so we won't get paid. But at least we'll be able to attend as a group and participate and go out there and have fun. Because most of our guys, what they want to do is they want to go out there and entertain. They want to go out there and show off their cars and show off their skills and put on a good show for the crowd. That's what they want to do.
Wow, and they do it even without getting a little bit in their pocket to do so?
Oh, sure. Most of the things we ever do, if we get, free entry, if we get a little bit of money, the money we get probably doesn't even cover the fuel we would use to drive ourselves there. we're not doing this to get rich. As everybody knows, the race is anything. There's no money in racing,
Yeah, and you get a little bit deep. That's kind of the shocking part that we're looking at, because in last year, everybody kind of just checked it off, and nobody ever, unless you're 100 years old, nobody ever saw something like last year. And then this year, people had their toe in the water. How difficult was it for you to sit down in January, February and go, what do you think? Where should we go?
Well, it went right back to the people that we had been with before. And, Milan was open last year. Milan, was active early in, May and June. And it was limited crowds. But by the time they got into June and July and August, the crowds got much better, and September was a very good crowd there.
Yeah.
I think people were just dying to get out. They just really wanted to get out of the house and get out there and enjoy and get out there and see some entertainment with some race cars and stuff. So, and we certainly had some members that didn't come out last year because of the COVID, and I don't blame them. Even when we would have meetings and stuff in the trailer, I tried to, stand back, and you got to just be careful in masks and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
You just had to be just as careful as you could. And the people that didn't come out for our events and our own members, and I respect that, it's their decision, and I'm going to respect that. So this year, being most of us now have been vaccinated, or many of us have, then we will move forward. And in our meeting, we had people there that I had not talked to, you know, since last year, and not seen since last year. They're all fired up, and they're really, really itching to get back at it. So,
you know,
we're looking forward to going back out.
Tim, is there an event that you saw, you know, somewhere around January that you went, oh, man, this is a can't miss. We've never been there before, but, boy, we certainly would like to knock on their door.
Well, you know, we are going up to our very first event this year. I have called the ownership up at Mid-Michigan Dragway up in Stanton, Michigan, and we're going to do an event up there on Saturday, May 15th. And if we get rained out on May 15th, because May, you know, you never know with May, if we get rained out on Saturday, then our rain date is the next following day, which will be the 16th on Sunday. So always excited to try out new tracks. You know, whether it was Onondaga or Ubley, Stanton, or US 131, or any of these tracks, whenever you go to another track, all the tracks always have their own personality, and the crowds are fun, and it's great to go to places. And I can remember the first time we went to Ubley, and people were like just astounded. Like, you know how many years it's been since there was a Willie's Coupe at this track? I mean, it's probably been 25 years, you know. And for us, it's like no big deal because, you know, we have a pack of these cars, the Willie's pickups and the 555 Chevys and just all the unusual cars that we have. And, you know, you get kind of spoiled because every time we go out, I got, you know, 16 to 20 cars like that every time we go out. And then when we go to a track that doesn't typically see that, they're super stoked by that. They love it.
Oh, yeah, because you're way different than a black Camaro.
Right, and I love black Camaros and Mustangs, and you know, but you're right, it's unusual, it's different. And,
yeah.
You know, they're certainly very select, nice select cars that we can, you know, run with. So,
I mean, we dig all drag cars, and we do, but you get so much of Fox Body. You know,
right.
Once you get to see, you know, like John Tompkins' car, or your car, you know, I mean, you're right. You get to see a Willys and you go, what is that? Look how cool. I mean, that does make the stand up.
Yep. And you know, and you take something like Johnny Rotten, you know, with the Rotten Orange car, that you know, that's pulling the American flag, you know, on a pole behind the car and doing a big burnout stuff. And the car just loves that stuff. Just love it, you know. And, you know, whether, you know, it's that or Wally Peterson with the altered wheelbase heavy car that's, you know, putting that thing up on the rear bumper every time he launches the car, and it still runs tens. It's incredible, you know. So, you know, it's about putting the show on and getting out there and entertaining for the crowd, you know.
Yeah, man.
That's what we try to concentrate on.
I was just, Alan just gave you a wave that we have Johnny Rotten coming on next week. Next Friday,
Excellent.
He'll be with us.
Excellent.
And talking about,
he's working on another second car.
Oh, no.
So he may not talk about it, but there's another one in the pipeline. So don't let him fool you. There's another one coming.
Oh, all right. So we established that he's a great showman. He's independently rich. And this should be kind of fun.
I don't know about that. He just works real hard, you know.
Yeah, if he works as hard on the car as he does on the showmanship, this is going to be an outstanding situation.
Yep.
I mean, is the car going to be out this year?
Johnny's car? I don't know. I think so. I'll put it out there. Sure, I would say he'll be there. You know, I don't know. But, you know, last time I saw the car last fall, he had just purchased the car. But I know that they've kind of worked on it all kind of, you know, all through the winter and stuff. They've been plugging along on it. So, you know, I'm hoping that it comes out and it won't be orange. I know that.
Won't be orange?
It might even have three pedals in it. You never know.
What? What?
Yeah.
Wow. Talk about breaking news, Tim. Forget about the smiling thing. This is bigger.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, it is an amazing thing that your crew puts on, and it really does put on a show. As much as we're talking with your cousin Steve about putting on a show, the Great Lakes Gassers, no matter where you go, and there's a couple of Gassers group and there's a couple of nostalgia groups and stuff like that, rarely will you see something as cool as the Great Lakes Gassers, and not only do you see them on the track, and I mean, man, as somebody who sits in the stands, you will notice that these guys don't baby their cars, so you will have a good time. So you'll get your dollar's worth sitting on that stool or sitting in the stands.
On the bleachers, yeah.
You know, it's.
I expect those guys to run full out. I want them to. You know, we're not going to play games to top end. You know, we're not bracket racers. We're full on drag racers, and you know, I guess we run on an index, but I expect those people to be on that throttle until the very end.
You know, we forgot to tell folks is that with your group, you know, tell them about how you race. I mean, you're right.
So this year, kind of breaking news again this year, we have gone back to the points chase. We went away from it last year. I wasn't sure if there was enough interest in continuing with that points chase. So I went away from it last year. And then, you know, talking with people, you know, the points race just brings some of those people in every time we have a meet anywhere. So the points trophy is back. It doesn't bring any money. It just brings bragging rights and a trophy. But that's always fun. And we have people that really take that seriously. And the way we're set up is we're on an index base. And a couple years ago, we decided to have a 9-0 index. So, and our indexes are all half second apart. So 9-0, 9-50, 10, 10-50, and so on. And then we have qualifying passes. We have two qualifiers, and we qualify simply on reaction time. So we run on a 4/10 pro tree. So the closest one to a perfect light is our number one qualifier, and then however you rank in the qualifying sheet, that's how I put people on the ladder. So it is very possible with like a John Densky that runs like a 9-0 car, he could end up running me with a 10-0 car. So that means, you know, obviously I get a 1 second head start. So and you know, then obviously, you know, most of the cars are in that 10 to 12 second range, or you know, 9:50. We only got maybe one or two 9-0 cars, and most of them are, you know, 9:50 to 12 second car. So there's not a huge disparity at the launch. But at top end, you know, if they get good lights, you know, at the top end, they're right together. So that's how we set it up. That's how I did it years ago. You know, if I was, you know, 100 cars or so, then I would probably race all the 10 second cars against each other and the 10:50 cars against each other. But we don't have that many cars to have that luxury to do that. So obviously, I just have to just mix it up however they fall out in the ladder. So we do that, and then no buybacks, nothing like that. You just get your two time trials, and then you race till you lose. And when you lose, you pack it up, and then stick around and watch and see who wins. So that's how we do it.
And have a great barbecue in the same time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, for those who are asking, you don't like chintzy out at the 1,000-foot mark. I mean, you go 1320, don't you?
No, I, you know, I'm one of these kind of racers that if, you know, if I'm racing somebody and I know that I'm beating them by, you know, a bus length, then I may dump the clutch at 1200 foot or something like that and then just let it coast through. But we don't play the game at 1100 foot. We're in and out of the throttle and banging the throttle. We don't do that. You know, I expect these guys to run that car all the way through the top end. So,
yeah.
But there's been a lot of races. You know, if I'm side by side and we're door handle by door handle, I don't care what that car runs. I'll break out big time. I don't care. You know, I'm gonna win that race. You know, and if I lose, you know, I lost to a guy named Jack Schwick a year or two ago, and we both broke out, but I broke out by, you know, 2/1000ths more than he did. So you know, he ended up winning, but probably one of the best races I had all year because we were right together all the way down the track, and me banging gears and the supercharger coming on ringing, singing loud and we went through, and I knew I clipped him. You know, I knew I had him, you know, by half a fender or so when it came back, and I got the yellow slip, and I'm like, dang it, you know, yellow slip, you know, and then you really start studying, and we both broke out, and I, like I said, I broke out just a touch bit more, so.
Can you see him? I mean, were you looking in the corner of the eye all the way, or were you just, like, not seeing him, thinking I'm going to put him away, just keep it hitting?
The problem with these cars, with the Willys coupes, my car, I'm sitting so far back in it, if I look directly to, like, let's see, if I was in the right lane, and I look to the left, all I see is the car body. There's nothing there. I have to kind of look forward to kind of see over to my left. So it's a little difficult to look right over. You know, it's not like I'm in like a Falcon or something. I could turn my head and the other car's right there.
Right.
I look at the body. So you have to kind of look through the window and kind of forward. But I could see that he was right there. So, you know, that's the unfortunate thing about some of those cars. You know, you look around, you can't see out. You know.
I mean, have you ever raced anything else but a Willys?
Oh, yeah. I used to race my 70 Super Sport Chevelle. And, you know, it's a street-driven car, and I beat the living snot out of it, and I could get it to go 1190s. And, you know, and I really, quite frankly, got tired of breaking everything. I mean, I would break the rear axles, and then I put better axles in it. And then I break a ring and pin, and I put better, you know, rings and, you know, gears and stuff like that. And then I start breaking transmissions. So, you know, I was breaking my way up the food chain. And after it just gets expensive after a while, fixing those, you know, those Muncies and those Super T10s and stuff. So I finally said, enough of this. And I had taken the car out to the high school drags. You know, my students at Saline High School were, you know, egging me on to take the car out. And the Willys coupe was almost done. So, you know, this was back a long time ago. And 2004, 2005-ish, whenever it was. And I said, fine. So I took the car out. And did a big burnout with it, and I launched it, and I broke the ring and pinion, and it bound, and I broke the trans. So I broke all of it at once, you know, $100 bills out up the smoke, and I fixed it. I had a 433 gear in it at the time, and
wow.
I put a 411 back in it, and I sold the slicks off of it, and I kept the front runners, but I sold the slicks off of it, never to ever race that car ever again. So I thought, I'm done. I've retired it. You know, it cost me hundreds of dollars to fix the thing after that. I'm like, wow. You know. So that was the last time it was raced. So that was, you know, early 2000s, you know.
Where does it sit today?
Oh, I still have it. It's just a street car now. You just drive it on the street.
Wow. Okay, so now how many cars we have in the club this year?
Oh, my God.
Kind of.
You know, it's funny. We always get a few. We lose a few. I would say that on paper, it's close to 60.
60?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That has to put you in, like, one of the biggest clubs around for what you do, right?
Yeah, I would say so. And, you know, some members, you know, don't live in Michigan. They live, you know, whether it's, we have one gentleman lives in Pennsylvania, great guy, and in others, of course, Ohio. We have quite a contingency in Ohio and some in Indiana, a couple in Illinois. So, you know, they're kind of spread around. We've got a couple in Wisconsin. But, I mean, to get them here every time is difficult at best, you know. So, yeah, but they're on the list, you know.
Then how do you do points then if they're, you know, they're driving a long time? Obviously, and they're not going to come to you every single week.
Correct, right. So, you know, and the way I set the points up this year, any event that we're having in Michigan counts towards the points race. So, obviously, just the membership that comes, you know, if I get 20 to 25 people there, then those people would be the ones competing for points. I mean, you can always come and compete, but, you know, if you're only going to come to two events a year, the chances of you winning are pretty slim, you know. So you got to be there to win.
Yeah. Now, how many tracks are you going to? Are you going to just stay in Michigan this year? Are you moving around?
No, we're going to do, like I said, we're going to do Mid-Michigan Dragway up in Stanton, and then I'm at Milan three times this year, Detroit Dragway Reunion, the Kicking It Old School in July, and then back in September, we'll be back there for the Nostalgia Drags. And then we're doing Ubley in August 14th. And then we're going to go to Illinois and do, I think, which will be the last Glory Days event in Byron, Illinois. That's July 16th to the 18th. And I'm told that the Meltdown Drags are coming back. That was what I was told. So if Meltdown Drag comes back, if any of our listeners have been out there and have been to that event, an outstanding event. You know, you want to see a lot of different cars that you've never seen before, and a lot of see a lot of drag racing, a lot of good event, a lot of good cars. It's a great event.
Where is that at?
Byron, Illinois. Byron Dragway.
Okay, is that far away from Chicago, or is that closer to?
You know, it's kind of northwest Illinois. It's almost to Wisconsin.
Wow.
So probably an hour, 90 minutes, maybe out of Chicago. I'm guessing. You know, I go as far away from Chicago as humanly possible. It's never nothing worse than trying to drive around and in and around Chicago with, you know, with a truck and a 26-foot trailer.
Yeah, no matter, you know, what time of day
drivers,
or night.
The drivers in Illinois are very special. You
know? Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like I-75 in Atlanta.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter what time of day. It doesn't matter how cool your GPS is. You know, right. Unless you're on a bicycle, and even that gets squirrely.
Yep.
You know, when you go to, like, different states and stuff, and folks see you, Do they knock on your door and they go, how can I be affiliated with you? Or do you see somebody with a hot rod and go, hey, psst, that would sure look nice in our club?
You know, both things are like, those scenarios happen. So we picked up another member, another Willie's Coupe member. Car's name is Grit. And there's a long story behind that. You'd have to interview that guy. And but he's actually a resident of, like, Ohio.
Okay.
And the group that he was running with, you know, they're more, you know, west of there. And it didn't make sense for him to run there, so he's going to run with us this year. I picked up a gentleman that was running at Marion County International Raceway, and they're kind of changing their program down there. They're getting away from the bracket racing and things like that. And he called me and says, you know, I've been watching you guys for years. I want to come run with you guys. And I said, okay, well, you know, so we kind of start with, well, what's the car? What year's the car? And, you know, what's it look like? And you know, the worst part about my job is ever have to tell somebody that their car doesn't fit what we're trying to do, or the wheels are wrong, or whatever. You know, I hate telling somebody that, you know, your car's not nostalgic enough, or it doesn't fit what we're trying to do here. And, you know, this time that car was still like a Mustang 2 or an original A-frame, you know, style of car. It's, you know, kind of a stock suspension or Mustang 2 front end. And I told him, I says, well, obviously it's got to be a straight axle, because at that time it wasn't. And I gave him a kind of a laundry list of things he needed to change. And he's like, okay. And like 2 weeks later, he sent me pictures of the thing, and the front end was hacked off of it. And he's got the straight axle stuff all fabbed up and ready to go. And I'm like, God, you know, it would take me 2 weeks just to order the parts. And this guy's got it all off and got the new stuff tacked on. And so he's coming out of Ohio to race with us this year. I got the Willie's Coupe coming out of the Ohio, Indiana area to race with us. And so, yeah, I mean, we always pick up a few, and then there's a few that, you know, a couple of few every year that decide that, you know, they just don't want to do it anymore, or they want to go off and do something else, or they want to race different, you know, bracket racing, and just go to the street rod shows and do the car show circuit and stuff, and that's fine, you know, I respect that. I used to do that, but the racetrack always keeps calling you back, you know, so.
Yeah, you know, when you knock on the door, and the guy says, yeah, come see my car. I want to join you. And you look at it, just like the gentleman you just described. You know, I mean, what immediately makes you go, bump, 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 ba-dow? You know, that sound that Price is Right has when you lose?
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like being pulled over by the police sometimes. It's that sinking feeling. You know, I hate telling anybody that, no, it's a nice car, but, you know. And now I try to do it by committee. You know, I'll call up, you know, John Tompkins, you know, or Bill Archer, a couple other people, Michael Chinsky, and say, okay, this gentleman's, you know, has come to me and would like to, you know, race with us. What do you think about the car? And everybody's kind of on a, you know, kind of a, you know, a test membership, I guess, for a year or so. And we say, well, we'll let you in. We'll see. I mean, because there's no dues or anything. So we just kind of accept everybody, and then we pass the hat for cash to run the organization, and we have another fund, like a memorial fund, so if somebody, you know, their father passes away or something like that, we have a memorial fund for flowers and things like that. So we have a couple different funds for that to help operate the club. So if they just don't work out in the club, then, you know, I'll have a conversation with them at the end of the year or something and say, I'm sorry, but this isn't going to work out. And it rarely, rarely ever happens. You know, we usually, the people that come to us that really want to join turn out to be great people. And so I can really be proud to say that, you know, our membership is really wonderful. They're all good people. So very, very, very few people that I've had to ask not to come back.
That's got to be hard, man. I mean, especially when, for whatever reason, you know, right. I mean, it's a tough gig, and especially if you're the, you know, the bright light of the club, and it rests on you.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, when you see someone's car, you know, and they said, look, we want to join, you know, the Great Lakes Gasser, and what's the first thing that normally is got to be changed?
You know, a lot of times it's wheels. And I try to be really kind of forgiving on this and say, look, you know, I want you to race with us. But the wheels are just wrong. They're like a big, ugly billet wheel or something like that. You know, something that's made definitely in the 2000s.
Center lines.
They're just wrong, you know. And I say, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to race with us all year. Okay, a full season. don't change your wheels. If you really like it, if you really, you know, enjoy the family atmosphere we have here, and you really enjoy running with us, then by next season, I'd like to see you change the wheels. And most people will do that. And then if they don't, I'll have a conversation with them next year and say, look, you know, I thought we had an agreement, you know, and they're like, yeah, they're on order or whatever. But, you know, again, that doesn't usually happen. Usually when I talk to them about the wheels, they say, yeah, I know, but I've got this set of wheels. Will these wheels work better, you know? And, you know, some of these organizations, like, you know, the Meltdown, for example, that event, when you sign up and you pre-register, you have to send them pictures of the car. And if it's not nostalgic enough, or it has the wrong wheels or the wrong paint job or whatever they don't like, then you just don't even get registered. They don't let you in. You know? And I don't want to ever be that harsh to people, you know. I don't want to be the guy that says, well, you can't run because you don't have a hood, or, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, I certainly would like the cars to be nostalgic, but I'm not going to read all the books and find out what all the nitpicky stuff was that they used to do to make it, you know, a D class or a B class or an A class or a double A class. And I'm just not. Life's too short. Life's just too short. Let those people get out there and have fun. That's what's more important than whether or not a car had a hood on it, or, you know, or any of those kinds of things. So,
well, I would almost assume if they're building a gasser, you know, that they're not going to put on, you know, stuff from last year. You know, they're not going to go to Summit and buy the whole nine yards. I mean, if you're building one of these things, you know, unless you're building a pro mod version of the show, wouldn't you want to stay within the nostalgia guidelines?
Right, exactly. And that's what most people have done. But, you know, sometimes you'll get a car that was a bracket car, and now they're converting it over to be a nostalgic car. So the hood scoop might be, you know, one of those kind of real roundy kinds of things that came out in the 1990s. Well, that's obviously doesn't fit, you know, the aesthetic of what that was back in this, you know, 60s and early 70s. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that need to be changed. And some people are like, yeah, it's not a problem. You know, they'll send me three pictures of different hood scoops that they have. Which one do you like? I'm like, I don't care. Just
which
pick one
do you
know.
Like?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's impressive that people will go to that far length, you know, but they should. I mean, that's the show you're putting on, you know.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to be, you know, a Beatles tribute group, not going to wear, you know, some rapper's fashions.
Exactly. You're not going to look like, you know, some of the, like you said, some of the rappers and stuff that are out there now.
Yeah, right. Okay, so now,
Mr. T, you know.
But now that you got, okay, so we're going to be at a handful of events, and you've never been to Mid-Michigan racing, right?
I've never raced at Mid-Michigan. Now, I have had plenty of members that have. And my cousin, Tony Tomozik, I think 33 Plymouth, if I'm correct, that's kind of his home track. So, when we were kind of looking for some different tracks to race at, I kind of reached out to him, and then he reached out to the ownership, and, you know, and they're like, yeah, you know, call us up. So I called him up, and, you know, an hour later and a couple phone calls later, we're booked in there. So, and it, you know, it's one of those kinds of things that we'll go in there the very first time, and we'll pay, you know, the entry fee for test and tune, for example. And I'm like, okay, so, and I just explained what I want to do. I just want to get two time trials in. I get all the paperwork from you. I'll put the ladder together. I run my own show. Just tell me what time you want me to run, and then we'll run it through until we have a winner, you know, and then we'll provide the – usually we even provide the trophy and stuff like that for the person that wins. And so,
Mike's going to love you.
They just get basically free entertainment, you know. And hopefully in a situation like that, they like the product, and they invite us back the next year, and hopefully the next year maybe we'll get in for free, you know. And then that's kind of how that – relationship develops, and hopefully in some year we get paid, you know. So,
who's going up with
again,
you, Tim?
Yeah, you know, I never expect to get a lot of money out of anybody, so
who is going to be racing with you in that time around? I mean, obviously your club, but is it going to be your club and then whoever drops by, or is this,
you know,
going to
I
be
think,
an event?
I think that it's just a regular bracket event for them that day, on that particular race. So I haven't scheduled yet with, in fact, Steve Carpenter happened to, and he runs the Great Lakes Stick Shift group. He had actually texted me today about another track. And sometimes we try to kind of pair it together because a lot of their cars are nostalgic and they're all stick cars, which of course is exciting. So sometimes it's a nice dual punch, kind of get in there, get those cars in there with ours. And so we kind of complement each other well. So maybe we'll get in there with them. So like at Ugly, it's a good event to get them in there with us at Ugly. You know, it's a nice compliment to us, so, or vice versa.
When you're running in Ugly, are you running quarter mile?
Eighth mile at Ugly. Yeah, it's our only track that we'll race at all year. That is eighth mile. Even at Mid-Michigan, we're running quarter up there. But everything else is quarter mile except for Ugly. It's eighth mile there.
I mean, Tim, when you take a look at everything, and especially around because you're Michigan-based, I mean, do you take a look at the track and go, is it too far away? I mean, there's a reason why we stay here, or is because you can see that they're already booked for their stuff? I mean, what makes you say, yes, let's target this track? Because Mid-Michigan, you know, that's something new for you. You know, Ugly, right. That was something new for you.
But sometimes, you know, we have membership that lives a little bit more north of us. You know, if you look at some of our members, they live kind of, you know, the Lapeer area, kind of in that direction. And, of course, you got our Ohio contingency. So, you know, we are kind of spread around in the state a little bit. I mean, certainly there are plenty of us that live kind of in the, you know, Wayne, Washington, Oakland, Macomb County, that kind of cluster of counties. A lot of us live in that area. So Milan's kind of the natural track to go to. But a lot of my members like to explore. They like to go to different tracks. And that's one of the reasons I've kind of pushed to do that. There's another track. The name of the track is lost out of my mind, but it's even more Kaleva. I like to go up there. That's further north, and it's basically all pine trees and a racetrack and a big crop. So I would love to do that track sometime, but it's quite a ways up north.
Yeah,
and I would definitely have to have a sign up sheet for that and make sure I could take up 10, 12 cars, or I wouldn't go. You know, it's no good to take six cars to an event. You know, if you're going to go, you got to at least 12 cars, I say, to make a good presence there, you know, to really get the crowd excited. You know, they're not going to, nobody's going to want to come out and look at, you know, six cars, even if they're all Willie Scoops. I mean, you got to put on a better show than that. So,
yeah, but the show that you guys put on at the Nostalgia Natch was insane, was incredible. You know, especially with all the other nostalgic cars that they had at the time with you. I mean, that was just an event that was not to be missed. You know, mm-hmm. Let us cross our fingers and toes that you guys will be there again this year.
Yep.
I mean, you'll be there. Will everything else be there? Now,
we'll be there. If everything's open, we'll be there, obviously. Yes.
Yeah, but would you move that then? If, say, something happened, like there's a big flood there at Milan, would you move that event on that day somewhere else, or would you just chalk it up and say, well?
You know, it's not my event. I didn't plan it. I just get booked into it. You know, that would have to be someone else that would have to pick that up, you know, another track and say, well, you know, we would be willing to do that. And then, but there's a lot of time and effort that goes into any event, whether it's, you know, DDR, nostalgia event, you know, any of those, you know, that stuff takes years to really build up, you know, clientele and fan base and things like that. So, I mean, you could move it from, you know, one track and then move it to the west or north, but will the fans travel, you know, the distance? I don't know. You know, it would take a couple of years probably to really build it up again.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, it's amazing that here in the, you know, major three, you know, Macomb, Oakland, Wayne, and little subsidiaries around there, there's no track. I mean, there's Milan, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, at one time you had three. Now you have one. You know.
Right.
It is kind of a – wait till you go to Mid-Michigan. What a track, you know. I mean, it was one of our tracks to watch last year, you know, because they really did a nice job putting in a lot of money into the track. And the owners are really nice. So lucky you. It's going to be a good – if you've never been there, it's neat to go from underneath the booth to get to the starting line. Now, is how many cars are you going to have there as far as you know? Full?
You know, I haven't put the list out there yet, but I'm hoping 12 to 16. That's my goal. And, you know, we had a real conversation about, you know, if you want me to get out there and explore and get new tracks to go to, you got to step it up. You got to show up, you know. You know, we have members that will go all the way to you know, Dragway 42, or they'll go to Norwalk and all these kinds of places. Yeah. And get in your car and go north, you know, or go northeast and go to Ubley. You know, I get tired of excuses, you know. So.
Well, there's no real track that's easy to get to.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore. And if they were, you know, it'd be a breeze for everybody, but chances are good, you know, just like Motor City Dragway, you know, you just happen to plunk it down there and, oh, there's homes and, oh, you don't have a drag strip anymore. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
You know, welcome to it. If you're going to have 12 cars, were you thinking about going down to Norwalk this year because they're open?
Well, yes. Norwalk, you know, I know that I have membership going. That's not on my schedule, my personal schedule, but I know it is on for a lot of my membership. The fact that I will be at Kicking It Old School the next weekend, I'll be at Glory Days the next weekend, the 16th to the 18th, which means I probably leave like on Wednesday and I stay at a friend's house in Goshen, Indiana. I spend some time with them, and that's, so I kind of plod my way to Byron. It just takes me a couple days to get there. You know, I'm on vacation, so it doesn't really matter when I get there. I just get there on Thursday and set up. And so, you know, doing two events like that in a row, especially when you get in the heat in the summer, just gets kind of old. I want to make sure the car is ready and it's, you know, truly ready to rock and roll on for Glory Days, because that's a long way to drive to have problems, you know. So,
yeah. I mean, how many races personally are you thinking about doing this year?
At least six. And then, like I said, there were some other events that the membership was talking about. I might try to hit even a couple more.
Any so, that you're...
I mean, it could be seven or eight easily.
Any that you want to spill right now?
Nope. Not
yet. Okay, fair.
To be determined. We'll see what happens in the news. We'll see what happens out there. And then like I said, we may have to. You know, my guys like to run, and we might say, well, if these couple events aren't going to happen because for whatever reason, then we will go elsewhere. You know, I'm not going to put this much time and effort into a car and then say, well, I'm going to race it twice a year.
Would you have your own event? I mean, you would put it on yourself?
Yeah, you know, if I could get the right track and, you know, the right ownership and, there's just so much to it. I mean, my cousin Steven has helped a lot with like the Detroit mm-hmm. Dragway Reunion and the Nostalgia event, and does it helps a lot with the promotions and organization and things of those tracks and those events. So I know there's a lot of time and effort that goes into that. So, you know, and you got to have money, because if you want people to come, you got to be able to advertise. You know, in radio programs like yours certainly help, and social media certainly helps, but you know, whether it's radio spots or it's flyers or it's direct mailings, and you know, it takes so many different things to get the word out. So I would like to at some point, but I'm just trying to find just the right place to do that. So
what,
you know, and then we're looking potentially at Onondaga reopening. Mr. Sloan apparently has purchased that track and is doing wonderful things up there. They've rebuilt a tower and they're putting the guardrails back up, and I have no idea where all of that stands with the legal aspect of all that. And I know that there's a swap meet up there next weekend, I think, the 5th of April, something like that, 2nd or 3rd or whatever it is, a week from this Saturday. So, but I don't know all the details about if the track's going to open, when the track's going to open. I don't know those details yet. So,
have you raced there, Tim?
At Ubley? Or, I mean, at Onondaga? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so when the previous owner, you know, Dan owned it before he passed away, we raced up there as a group, I want to say at least three or four times, and they loved us up there, you know. And I had people come from Ohio, some of my Ohio contingency came up to that, and we just raced 8th mile up there, and it was a blast, you know, it was a lot of fun. And it was a track that, I mean, it was just barely open, you know.
Yeah. Barely, you know, is
had,
the route.
Barely. I mean, yeah. They barely had a concession stand. They didn't have, you know, permanent bathroom facilities yet, but those people were out there. They were doing it. They were having fun. They prepped the track good for us. The track was wonderful. The track was a good track.
For a hometown track, it is one of the nicest, and it's beautiful surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I mean, we did a couple of photo shoots there. We're going to be there on Saturday, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, because I think everybody, A, wants to go out. B, they want to actually see. Because when we went out two Saturdays ago, I mean, we got as far as the chain link fence. We did see somebody working at top end, you know, but we couldn't get their attention. But it looks like it was frozen in time, you know. Right. But we didn't see anything really bad with the track itself from what we could see. So I think that's the whole thing, the reason why, and the reason why we're going, because we actually want to put our shoes on the ground and say, okay, is this a real deal or was this somebody's pipe dream?
Right.
You know?
And I hope it opens, you know, and Milan Dragway's always been good to us. You know, they're our home track and we'll always support them. But if Onondaga opens up, you know, we race there and we had a good relationship with them too. So, you know, we'll race anybody that'll have us.
God, so. You know what? That's like the closest to you, isn't it?
You know, to me personally, it's actually Milan's closer by about 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. From where I live, they're just a touch bit closer for Onondaga's a little bit north, more north, you know, mileage wise. I got to go drive, you know, like another 10 minutes or so.
Well, the fun thing about Onondaga is there's no direct way to get there.
Well, I mean, it's not bad. I mean, you know, 127 is a highway. So once you can get, you know, 94 to 127 and then go north, it's in, you know, it's not far off the highway. It's not bad.
Yeah, but if you're coming from the Clinton Township, Sterling Heights, Warren Triangle,
well,
that's not where they take you.
Well, you know, with a tough track to get to is Albly. Yeah, there's no direct path there. You
know, oh,
you get
really?
Off on 69 and start zigzagging around before you finally get there.
Yeah. Know? But see, on our side of town, it's Van Dyke straight, you know, until Van Dyke dies. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, for you guys, it must be insane. You know, the cool thing is that mid-Michigan, it's kind of more, you know, 127 go north, and then if you went to Mount Pleasant, you went too far.
Right. Know? Yeah.
But that's kind of the fun part. Talking about fun parts. Who do you got sponsorships this year, my good man?
Dave Mullins at Mullins Auto Repair will be sponsoring us again this year. And he's the one that has been, for years now, has sponsored us for our hero cards. So they're coming back this year. You know, with the COVID last year, we had no hero cards. I gave away the leftovers from the previous year. This year, our coloring books will be coming back for the kids. And the coloring books will be made again this year by the Southwest Washington Consortium Graphic Arts Department. And the instructor there is Adam Rodriguez. He's been a great help and puts those together. So we'll make at least, you know, 200-300 of those this year and give out to kids. And we, you know, Margie Archer does kind of the whole package. I get coloring books made for it, and she has a sleeve with crayons. And so, you know, we're just giving the kid a coloring book. We're giving them, you know, the whole package so they can just go off in the stands and color, you know. And I can't tell how many people have just said, "You're not charging me for this?" And I'm like, "No, it says free right on it," you know. And like, "But I'll pay you for these." I'm like, "No, they're free. It's for the kids, you know." And then, you know, I have some people that come, "Well, I have a granddaughter and she's not here. Can I get a coloring book for her?" Well, absolutely, here. You know, just take it. So, you know, but, we can't get any better PR than giving away a coloring book. You know, for what it costs me to have those things made, it's, you know, it's worth its weight in gold.
Tell people about the coloring books.
So, I met a gentleman that was out drawing race cars. Dustin Tart is the artist's name, and big car guy, big nostalgia car guy, and I had him draw my car, and I think he charged me, you know, $20 or $25, I think, something like that. And it was a pencil drawing, extremely well done, and then he did several other cars in the group, and then I kind of approached him, and I said, "So what would you charge me per car to draw all these cars?" And he kind of looked at me like, "Well, that's a lot of work." Because he's not, you know, it's not a full-time artist. He has a real job and then does the artist thing on the side. And he shot me a number. So I said, "Okay." So I started sending him pictures. And so now all of the cars in the coloring book are members of the group. Now, most of the cars, if not all, I've taken the name off the car or something like that. So then in case the car gets sold, you know, and somebody else buys the car and then they sue me because it's, you know, they don't have rights to, you know, I don't even need to get lawyers involved with any of this. So the names and stuff have all come off the cars, but it's not hard to tell, you know, who the four-door Comet belongs to, or you know, the Falcons or Johnny Rotten's car, things like that. It's pretty obvious, you know. So we make these coloring books, and like I said, we kind of put them together, and we just hand them out, you know, like at the bigger events. And we all, most of us, are trying to make sure that everybody in all the whole group's got a few of them. And then, you know, if somebody comes and they really are interested, then and then we just give them away. And then very often the kids will then go color. They'll find their favorite car, and then they'll color, and they'll tear it out. We've gotten more. I got one, I think, hanging in my trailer for sure, of my car that somebody colored, and then brought it back to me and stuff. So, I mean, that's just super sweet. You know, it's nice.
God, I don't know anybody else that's giving away stuff like that.
Yeah, and you know, for the amount of money that it costs, I mean, there was a little bit of money up front initially, and you know, trust me, I made the membership pay to have their cars drawn, so I wasn't like I paid for that. And then so it's just, yeah, and I've given, you know, that coloring book to like other clubs, and they thought it was a great idea, and as well, you know, here's what I did, and here's the guy's name and phone number, and so it's been a really, really good PR thing for us. So, but you know, of course, Mylan Dragway, of course, always sponsors us. And like I said, Dave Mullins, Mullins Auto Repair in Milan, Michigan. And of course, the consortium, you know, that I work in, the South and West Washtenaw Consortium, they help out, whether it's with the hero cards, because they, Mr. Rodriguez actually makes that hero card an assignment. I mean, this is like a regular customer assignment. Here's all the cards, here's the calendar, here's all the dates, here's all the names and cars and, you know, make, model, year of the cars and all that. And they had to put this together. So I would say probably the week after spring break, so in a couple weeks, I'll start looking at the proofs. And then we'll get to decide which one wins. And we'll choose one, and then they'll produce, you know, usually about 2,500 of those copies of that. And then I give that student something, you know, whether it's a gift card or something for them. And then we have those made, and we distribute them.
Now, so, what is a hero card, for those who don't know?
So a hero card is an 8.5 by 11 document that we give away that has a small picture of all of the cars that you would see traditionally racing with us. So the members that are out there consistently. So there'll be a picture of their car, there'll be their name, and then, so like mine would be Tim Tomozik, 42 Willys Coupe, and then that's usually on the front, our logo's on the front somewhere. And on the back on the card, there'll be our calendar, our sponsors, my contact information, my name and email address and phone numbers for myself and John Tompkins. And so it's just something that kids can go and get around. And then a lot of them will walk around and get autographs of all the drivers and stuff. So that's kind of fun. And it's something they can take home with them from the track. So, and you know, if they're really young, then, you know, obviously they get a coloring book too. And you know, I don't put an age thing on the coloring book. If a, you know, 12-year-old wants a coloring book, well, 12-year-old can have a coloring book, you know. So but we push real hard to get rid of the hero cards, because, you know, it advertises, yeah, Mullins Auto. And pretty much any adult, any kid that walks by that doesn't have one in their hand, I'm pushing them. And some tracks, like when I go to Byron, Illinois, for that event, I'll mail them up ahead of time. You know, I'll send them 500 or 600 of them at least, maybe closer to, you know, 750, and then they'll put them in the goodie bags and stuff, and they'll get distributed that way too. So, or when they kind of walk through the gate and buy their ticket as a spectator, they'll get one. So, and we get rid of some of them that way. And you know, I rarely ever run out.
I was going to say, to your point of like, wait a minute, how old are you? You don't get a, you know, aren't you too old for a car?
No, we never do that. No.
God, no. What a drag
you're
that would be.
You're walking and it's hot outside. You might want to use this as a fan later, so you should just take this now.
You know, we had one question too. On your age group, with all your cousins, with Steve and I assume Tony, are you guys?
Tony is a cousin. But he's, oh my God, it's going to be like my grandfather's brother's kids. Uh-oh. Or something. So it's, you know, more distant. And he's older. He's got to be, I would say, in his 60s, we're going to say.
Okay, so in your generation, how many cousins race?
Oh my God. So I think that, of course, my cousin Steve and myself, my cousins Anthony and Norman have raced. I don't know if they're currently racing.
Okay.
But they're big Chevy guys. So those two, so at least four of us. And then, you know, you move up to one next generation above, then you get into my Uncle Danny, my Uncle David, my Uncle Tom used to race. So there's a bunch of us, a lot.
So when there's a huge Christmas party, when the folks above you, your age group, and then the ones that are slightly below you or below you, and there's some one of your female cousins go, folks, I'm so glad everybody's around. I want to introduce you to Bob, and we're getting married. Do you, like, go up to Bob and go, what car do you drive, kid?
Yeah, it's kind of like that, yeah. So, you know, what kind of car do you drive, and is it made in America, and is it a stick shift, you know?
That poor kid would not eat. Well, I guess he would kind of have to know what family he's getting into.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think he's going to show up with the Corolla.
No, that doesn't end well. No.
I mean, would you have to take the female cousin aside and say, come here?
Yes.
He might be a nice kid and all, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Tim, is there anything we have not touched on in 1 minute?
No, I think we're good. I appreciate the invitation to be back on board with you today, and hopefully we can get you out to track this summer with us. And, you know, like I said, you know, we'll be out, of course, our very first event, May 15th at Mid-Michigan Dragway in Stanton. And then if all goes well, we'll be at Milan on June 19th and July 24th and September 25th, 26th. And, you know, we do have... our Facebook page for Great Lakes Casters, and we have our email, our website, which is greatlakescasters.com, and all that pertinent information is out there too.
And can they buy swag from there?
Not yet. Swag is very, very limited because with the COVID, I didn't have any t-shirts made. So if you want swag, you got to come to the track to get it currently right now.
That's right. And you know what? You'll end up with a coloring book. Get a t-shirt, get
yeah,
a coloring
exactly.
book.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know where we've got hats now, we've got t-shirts, we've got stickers, you know, so, yeah. Yeah, we've got our bases covered on that, so.
Job well done. You're going to love Mid-Michigan. As a matter of fact, I just sent this to Julie and to see, take a look in our calendar, because if you guys are going to go up there, and they got a nice amount of door slammers up there, beautiful track. I mean, beautiful track. You know, I think we may have to put that on the old pinboard to go.
Excellent. We'd love to have you up there.
Looking forward to it. Tim Tomosik of the Great Lakes Gassers. You can get them on the Facebook page of, I assume, the same name?
Correct. Yes.
And the Facebook and the website also. If you don't get a hold of them, you're going to get a hold of John Topkins. And
yes.
He's got a story to tell, him and his son, with that nice little six banger. Hopefully he still has.
Yep. Still working on it, yep.
And then next week, kids, it's funny how we just happened to fall in this way. We are going to have Johnny Rotten with us with the Rotten Orange. You want to see a showman that you thought was long gone. Wait till you talk, till we talk to this gentleman. You'll be amazed. We're going to have a couple of his pictures and a couple of Tim's pictures up on our Facebook page also, so you understand what kind of car these guys drive. And this isn't a little nickel kind of thing. These guys put heart and soul in every one of their cars. And when they come out to race, they're racing for you as opposed to some other classes who race for them. And they don't care if there's people in the stands or not. The Great Lakes Gassers love seeing you. And they love when you stand up. And they love when you scream when they come to the line. And they will lift it to the bumper. And they will blow up their cars just so when you go out of that gate, they say, you know what, Great Lakes Gassers, we had a great time. We got to come back and see these dudes. I think I got that all in a nutshell.
You did.
All right, Tim. Hang on the line for just a second. We'll be right. I want to talk to you for just a minute, but right now it is Bruce Springsteen. He's going to be Born to Run here on CKW High Radio 76.